Happy Wednesday, everybody, and welcome to 2020. I hope that you're having a great start to your new year. Thanks for kicking it off with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Of course, it is Wednesday. It's a special day. It's time for your listener questions. Who's going to get the first question of 2020? Mike wrote us in, and he's staying at Caribbean Beach in February. Need some advice for getting around that resort for the first time. Also, they're going to be down there during the Princess Half Marathon weekend, not participating, and they want to know how the race weekend may impact their trip. So this question and many more on today's show. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I'm glancing down to my iPhone XS Max, I can see that we're down to just 6 days to go till we head down for Marathon Weekend 2020. That's right. Next week is time to run 48.6 magical miles. Have so much fun with friends. We're going to have a great time. I'm leaving out on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. and cannot wait. I get excited every time I look down at my phone to post to social media, get a text or a phone call, and you can do the same. Check out all the great apps to turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now over at virtualmickey.com. A huge thank you to everybody who supported the show through our Amazon affiliate link in 2019. It really did help us fund the bandwidth costs and the hosting and all that stuff. And we ask that you continue to do that as you shop online here in 2020. Just bookmark our website. It is brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits. It'll cost you absolutely nothing extra. And again, all the funds do go right back into the show. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1584 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Once again, Happy New Year to you. It is New Year's Day 2020. And as we were talking in the pre-show, we have now podcasted in three different decades. We started back in 2008, finished out that decade. Then we had the teens. We went strong through the teens, and now we're into the 20s. This is crazy. I know somebody said in the live chat here that we are going to be podcasting. Eric said we're going to be podcasting from the old folks home soon. Couldn't be more true. That'll probably happen. I love podcasting. Love talking with you guys three times a week. So let's answer your listener questions. Joining me today, we have the entire crew here, and we're going to do it all year, I'm sure. Every show. It's going to happen here in 2020. It's my New Year's resolution. We have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and the Mouse for Less, and freshly returned from Christmas at Walt Disney World. What's up, Ricky? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And for those who missed it, our podcast was actually named by Medium as one of the top podcasts of the decade.
Boom.
What is this? Mic drop. Yes, it is. That's awesome. So I was completely floored when Mike sent the text of, hey, we made this magazine's list. And I was like, what?
No, I know all about Medium because I listen to a bunch of tech podcasts, and that's where a lot of folks go over and post their articles.
Yes. So I thought that was so awesome that we were included as one of the best podcasts of the decade, along with like
crazy
real celebrities. Like, look at us. We beat out real celebrities.
Yes.
That made me laugh.
It's like I told my wife, like, we're on a list with cereal. I mean, that tells you something right there. I mean, come on.
Yes, I'm on a list with Adam Scott, you know, from Parks and Rec. Come on, let's go. Adam, call me. It's all good. <That's pretty bad. laughs> I messed up. Anyway, so yeah, that was pretty cool. But I wanted to talk because everybody's been asking me the question of how I got on Rise of the Resistance.
No spoilers. I'm so close.
I will not spoil, except for that one thing, Mike.
Stop. Knock it off.
Such a jerk. So anyway, yes, I did not plan on riding Rise of the Resistance. I know I told you guys that before I left for my trip because I was not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And while Brian and I briefly debated actually getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and being at the parks by 7, that did not happen. We enjoyed our sleep that morning. And so we did get up a little bit earlier than we normally would on a Disney vacation. So we got up at our normal time for work. We made it into the park by 9 o'clock. Now, all of the actual, like, boarding passes for the day had been distributed. So we got one of the backup boarding passes. And actually, we got one of the very last backup boarding passes for the day. So when I looked at my number and it said 190, I was like, ha, that's not happening, because they had never gotten to 190 at that point before. So I was like, well, we're out of luck. We'll keep our eye on it and everything like that. And it's fine. We went to the Riviera to explore a little bit. We went to Caribbean Beach, hung out at both those resorts pretty much the rest of the day. And as I was going through the app, I kept watching throughout the day, and I was like, This is going pretty fast today. Like, these boarding passes are really, really buzzing through. And it got to be about 1 o'clock, and they were already, like, through all the regular boarding passes for that day. And I'm sitting here going to Brian. I said, they're in the hundreds. We actually could make it on today. And so at 7:15, I got the notification to head over that our boarding pass was actually up. The park closed at 9. So that is how I ended up getting on Rise of the Resistance. So I got lucky. I got one of the last boarding passes of the day, and I got in. So that was it.
I did have a listener send me a message, a DM on Twitter, saying, Ricky just has to suck it up and get up early and go on Rise. And
I said, amen. I got up at my normal time for work, so it wasn't like me sucking it up. And it was sucking it up as far as vacation is concerned, but not a 5 o'clock thing. So now, granted, while the holidays are here, and well, they're over now as of today, but with all the crowds for the holidays, you know, of course, that kind of threw that out of whack. But hopefully the backup boarding passes will still be available throughout, like, a little bit later in the day, not 5 o'clock in the morning anymore. So that's good.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy 2020. Pam, glad to have you back. I'm just glad we're all
happy
here. It's great.
2020, my folks. So, yes. And I will say that we rode Rise of the Resistance as well when we were down there. They have changed the boarding procedure. For those who do not know, you do not need to be there super early anymore. I would say about 45 minutes before the park opens, maybe, if you really want to be in the first group. We got there between 6:15 and 6:30 for a 7 o'clock opening. You can no longer get a boarding pass as soon as you enter the parks. You have to wait until the official park opening time. That's when they open the boarding pass groups. And my other bit of advice for you is to get off the Disney Wi-Fi and use your own Wi-Fi if you have it, because that will help you. So anyways, and the other thing to note is that everyone in your party who wants to ride has to be through the turnstiles before you can get a boarding pass that includes them. So keep all those things in mind. I've seen those. It's absolutely worth all the hype. While we were down, we did Hagrid's and also Rise of the Resistance. Both great rides, but I'm going to give the nod to Rise of the Resistance.
Yes, that is the correct answer. Yes.
I do agree with you.
No, I agree. Hagrid's is a roller coaster, and Rise of the Resistance is sort of an experience.
Yes, so. Because I felt really bad. There was this little girl that we were, like, in line with, and I could see she was crying. Like, she was bawling tears. And you could tell she was super nervous about it, because the ride is so realistic. Like, the whole experience
Stop!
I know. That's not telling you.
You, I know it's not a spoiler, but Ricky, you say things that come out of your mouth. You don't realize it. Like,
no,
you say stuff.
Not a spoiler.
You Ricky stuff. I know, but you're about to. Just
no, I'm off. Not. What I was going to say
I'm
is
so close.
I was on the same ride vehicle as this little girl, and she was actually, like, about to throw up. Like, that's how realistic this was to her. So I'm just saying, like, that's, I agree with Pam in the sense of, like, it is two totally different
experiences. It is. But the other thing I will say is, for those who have motion sickness issues, and this is always my concern when a new attraction is released, because a thrill ride, an out and out thrill ride, not a problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
Something that could cause a motion sickness issue becomes an issue for me. And to the point where it could not be worth doing because I feel horrible the rest of the day. But anyways, this, I did not experience anything after this. So not a thing. So for those of you who have motion sickness issues, I think this is just not something that you have to worry about. I actually did Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance within, I think, 15 minutes of each other. That's how perfectly our paths have sort of worked out. So, and all good. But love them both. Still love the area. I'm still, there are still things I'm discovering about the area. We ate at Docking Bay 7 again. You know, just lots of good stuff going on at Disney. If you aren't, you know, if you don't have a trip in the works, get one there. Just
oh, cannot wait. Mike Bankhead is in the chat, so congratulations to his Tigers. I couldn't have taken that game the other night if it was one of my schools. I would have had a heart attack. I couldn't have stood it. And my wife still needs to know what time they got there because they're the first ones in the parking lot. They're the only car in the parking lot. They park closer than the head coach is parked, I guarantee you. So, anyway, okay, let's get to the questions. Actually, first, I have a quick Karnak I put up to my phone, up to my head. The thing on my in the envelope, the virtual envelope, says to infinity and beyond.
Infinity and beyond.
Where we wish we could send Mike.
Yeah, right. How long is the line for Rise of the Resistance?
Nice.
All right, let's get to the questions. Now that I went there, I got to go here. And first question is from Mike. Hey, BOGP squad, my family of four, including an eight-year-old and a seven-year-old, have booked an eight-night stay at the end of February at Caribbean Beach. We used to be a value resort only family, but now that we've been several times, we're starting to invest more time into our resort stay and not so much time in the parks. From looking at the resort map, this place looks huge. I was curious if you guys have any recommendations for our stay. How is getting around the resort? We're planning on renting a double stroller, even though the kids can walk. It's worth every dime when they get cranky. Also, a bonus question. We'll be at Walt Disney World during the Princess Half Marathon. How will travel be during this time? We're planning on hitting Hollywood Studios early on Sunday for extra morning hours. That's also the day of the half. My son loves Star Wars, and we're going to get there super early to get on Rise of the Resistance boarding pass. How will our travel be with the marathon that day as well? We have the Skyliner at our resort, but I doubt it'll be running early enough for us to rope drop. Thanks for your help. You guys are the best. Much love. Mike from the frozen tundra that is currently called Massachusetts. Good name too, Mike. All right, so Pam, speak because you've been to Caribbean Beach here quite recently. So, and Riviera, kind of the same campus. You just returned from there. We'll talk about that here soon. So talk to him because Caribbean Beach is big, but give him some tips for getting around with his 8 and 7 year olds.
It is. So if you have a location request that you would like to go ahead and put that in, I really like Aruba and Jamaica. They're right across from the main sort of area there. And the good thing is that you're also within walking distance of Riviera, too, when you're there. Mm-hmm. So go ahead if you want to and put that request in if you'd like. Honestly, now, though, I think all of them have pluses and minuses in terms of their location. You know, the pirate rooms are sort of located, you know, a ways off, but they have added a new quick service location that's very close to that location with the Spyglass. So they have a counter service location at the main center town area there, which is also where the table service restaurant is. That's Shutters. And then they also have another quick service location located in the area that's near those further out buildings. So think about that. I think the great thing about Caribbean Beach is it's really transports you to that location. You get there and you feel like you're on vacation. The music, the palm trees, it is the first moderate. So that foliage is lush, mm-hmm. my friends. And it has one of the best pools, I think, on Disney property. When you add in the whole pirate theme and then the kids area, the kids splash area is really cool too. So I think Caribbean Beach is a great choice. And you've sort of made the transition, I think, that a lot of people find themselves making. They're spending a little bit more time at the resort and that becomes a little more important to them and a little less time in the park. And you know what? It's okay. With FastPass, you still get to do your favorite attractions and you might even get to relax on vacation. So go and enjoy.
Let me ask you this, Ricky. So with the Skyliner, if you're at Art of Animation, Pop Century, Riviera, Caribbean Beach, how early are they running that to the studios for the folks that are solely focused on getting there early for a boarding pass for Rise?
Oh, gosh.
I did see like 5 in the morning from Pop at one point. I don't know if that's still going on.
I don't know if it is either. And I was obviously just visiting Caribbean Beach a lot, and I saw the signs up for the Skyliner because I rode that a lot over the past weekend. And gosh, something tells me that it wasn't running until like 7:30, if I remember right, which is after park opening right now. So yeah, I don't think it's running in. I think that's the time I saw was 7:30. So you're probably going to have to take, you know, different transportation to get there, either Disney bus or, you know, if you want to get there even faster, you know, an Uber or a minivan or something like that.
So. I'm going to probably take a taxi just because they're always sitting there just for that one morning, or Uber, but whatever's there. And okay, so about his question about Sunday going to the studios again. So the half marathon will be going on Sunday. That's the longest race. Princess, I think, still uses the same. They haven't put out the official because they changed the marathon course, but they didn't change, I don't think, the half. So it'll go from Epcot's parking lot to the Magic Kingdom and back. So I think at the studios, you'll be fine getting there on Princess half morning, I'm guessing.
Also, to answer Maggie's question, yes, there are still hammocks at Caribbean Beach because I was just sitting in one. Yes, they're there. Yes.
Ricky does the hard work, so you don't have to.
Absolutely. 100%.
All right. Next question. It says, urgent. The trip is on January 5th, 2020. So we're just getting this one in. It's a Fantasmic Fast Pass question. I've been listening to your show for the past 8 months in preparation for my trip 1-5 through 1-14 of 20. I've done all the planning with booking our Fast Passes 60 days in advance and got all my ADRs. It occurred to me today that we have a Fast Pass for Fantasmic. And since that show doesn't start till night, will the fact that I have that pass mess up being able to get other Fast Passes in the park that day? My other two were done by noon. Should I keep the Fantasmic Fast Pass? I don't want to be stuck having to line up or hold seats for 2 hours. I know you're going for marathon weekend. Good luck if I see you in the parks. I'm going to say hi. All right, Jane, we'll hope to see you there. And do say hi if you can. So this is kind of like a philosophy question. Yes, if you have the Fantasmic Fast Pass, you're not going to get the rolling Fast Passes that day. Because you can't use it till your third one's up. Your third one won't be up till the day's over. What is your philosophy on that, Ricky? What would you do? Because, I mean, it's going to be January 5th or the 14th. The crowds won't be terrible. It's not like it is now, but, I mean, no. It's marathon weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I would personally give up the Fast Pass and try to make a second, you know, try to make a second Fast Pass for something else. And then that way I can use the rolling Fast Pass later that day. I just think that that's a better option overall. I never make Fast Passes for the nighttime experiences unless I'm not getting into the park until like evening. So if it's like the first day or something like that, I always make sure that I make my Fast Passes for early on in the day and then use them up and then use the rolling Fast Pass. As far as seeing Fantasmic, you don't have to get there 2 hours early. You know, maybe 45 minutes or so, I think would be decent enough time to get there for Fantasmic. The other option you could look into is to see if there are any Fantasmic dinner packages that are available. That's always an option, a good option. I know you have ADRs, but it depends on where you have an ADR for. That may be available for a Fantasmic dining package option for that day. So that might be something to consider.
I like doing Mama Melrose and Fantasmic. Yeah. It's a good combo. Yeah. A little pasta and a show is what I call it. No, but the good news is, though, I mean, this is something you might not have thought of, is that if you're going on one of those four nights where the races are happening, so the nights before, so Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, or Saturday night for Fantasmic, I don't know when her Fast Pass falls, those runners will be out of the park by the time Fantasmic starts. So a good bunch of people will be out. So now the other nights, because you're there for quite a long time, you will be, you know, fighting more of a crowd, but those night, the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, the evening shows will not have quite the demand that they will the other times.
Yep, agreed.
All right, next we have Nina, who's in our live chat on Facebook from Australia. Love that. And she says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. She's got some thoughts from her trip. She was from Australia, and she says, happy holidays and wishing you a happy new year. I don't have any questions. Have you answered so many for me previously? But thought I'd share some tips from my recent trip in December. We stayed at three resorts, Movies, Pop Century, and Boardwalk. And on our 9-day trip, we attended Rise of the Resistance on opening day and a Christmas party. First, the new Movies rooms are great. The only thing in terms of rooms that make Pop better is the shower head. In my particular room at Pop, we had a shower which had a rain water style head plus one that is detachable and adjustable height, whereas Movies just had one coming from the wall. This was a minor inconvenience when trying to take showers and keep the hair dry. as I needed a shower cap. So, Ricky, is that a deal for you? Is that a deal breaker?
I don't even notice. I'm kind of in the minority. I actually hate the rain shower heads. And I love one attached to the wall. Yeah, I'm not in love with like water on my face. So a rain shower head like just drops it right over my face. So I really hate rain shower heads. I like the wall mount ones better. I know I'm a weirdo. I'm a complete opposite person for most people.
But I think it's what you don't have at home. Like to me, that's like a cool thing because at home we just have regular old, spits out.
Obviously. And I like if there is a rain shower head and a like the detachable one, I keep the detachable one up on the thing and I use that as a regular shower head for myself. Like that's just what happens. I hate rain shower heads. So.
I sit there and whistle a little April Showers as I take my shower with the rain head.
Okay.
Anyway, she said attending Rise of the Resistance on opening day was amazing. We got to meet the project team at the end of the ride. The joy on their faces was infectious. I'm reading this carefully because I'm scared there's going to be a spoiler in a good way. My recommendation for getting on this ride in the next few months would be to get to the park at least 1 hour before opening. We were lucky enough to be staying at Boardwalk when it was opening, so we walked to Hollywood Studios. Didn't even shower, just rolled to see the shower. Didn't even matter there. Didn't even shower, just rolled out of bed and put on clothes and got there at 6:15 a.m. and got into the boarding group. Don't worry, we went home afterwards and made ourselves decent.
There you go. Woo, they didn't smell anymore.
Yes,
good.
Thank you. Just for the folks on Rise. Booking fast passes on the day when you've used your first three. If a fast pass comes up for a ride you want, but at an annoying time, just book it anyway. I found once booked, I could keep on pressing the particular hour I wanted the fast pass for, and normally one would pop up. This worked on so many occasions for me. I went on Kilimanjaro Safaris 3 times in a row doing this. Wow. Pam, I know you've done this before. You just grab it and then you keep modifying, right?
I do. I try again and again and again. I just play with the app to see what can come up. If worse comes to worse, if it's not what I want, then I'll switch it to something else. But yeah, I just modify.
Yep. And she says, finally, booking restaurants. I only had a party of 1 or 2 for my reservations. However, some restaurants I would find seating for 4 people for some reason. I'd book it anyway. Then as soon as booked, reduce the guest size down to my required size in the Disney app. Not sure if this trick would work for all party sizes, but hope it helps. Happy New Year again, Nina. So, you know, I love emails like this because that's practical advice. She was just there a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. And now when I'm at Pop next week, I'll have to check out the shower head. Pop does have the rain thing, though, because I've been there. I was there in September, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Now I'm confused. I think it does. No. Yeah.
It has a handheld one as well.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
It has a handheld one for sure. I don't know that it has a rain one, but I think they usually do. That's what Disney's been doing. Like usually it has 2.
Works for me. All right. This next question says, hey, Mike, this question's about football. So there you go. Right to the top of the list.
Pam, you and I can go away for now.
How's that for an attention getter for a subject line? She says, hey, Team BOGP, my boyfriend and I will be visiting the world over Super Bowl Sunday, and our plans have us at Magic Kingdom the following day for the infamous I'm going to Disney World post Super Bowl parade. My questions pretty much cover the entire subject. When does the Super Bowl parade for the winning team take place? Should we plan for normal crowds or stake out spots early in the day? Is there anything else we should know? I'm a seasoned Disney traveler, but in all my years as a podcast listener, I don't know if I've ever heard anyone address this once in a year event. Any advice you have would be greatly appreciated. Thanks. Melissa is 1,362 miles and 43 days away from Port Orleans French Quarter. So, Ricky, do you write about this on the blogs? Because, I mean, it's not the whole team, but it's usually the quarterback and, you know, maybe the MVP of the game.
Usually what it is and it doesn't always happen the day after, but most of the time it does. It just kind of depends on where they're playing and things like that. Where is this year's Super Bowl, Mike?
I do not know.
Okay. Anyway, it usually takes place though at the Magic Kingdom. However, sometimes it does take place at Disneyland. Again, it depends on where they're playing. If it's going to take place at Disneyland, so if they're playing on the West Coast, it might be at Disneyland.
They never say in the commercial, "I'm going to Disneyland." Have they ever said that? They have Disneyland? You said Disneyland? I've only heard Walt Disney World, I thought.
Yeah.
have done Disneyland.
So it just depends on where they are. So I'm just letting you know that. And usually it's a little short, like, pre-parade type situation. They usually have a few characters. They're usually dressed up in, you know, football costumes and stuff like that. So the Chip and Dale are, like, dressed as referees. And, you know.
It is cool. I love that.
Mickey dressed as a football player and Goofy usually. And I think Minnie is a cheerleader, stuff like that. Yep. So they'll usually come out and then they'll have the, like, one or two of the football players come to the park and be in the parade. So I'm trying to pull up some articles that I've written to see it's usually what time it usually happens, but I'm not 100% sure, and I think sometimes it varies. Hold on, I'm trying to do the research now as I'm speaking.
I want to say it's the next day, usually around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
I think it is, but it's definitely a pre-parade. I know that much. So that's the only one that I'm pulling up is from 2017, and that didn't help me. So I didn't put the time in that one. So they must not have announced it before I did it. And sometimes they don't announce the time because ahead of time, because they really are coming off a plane and they're not entirely sure if they're going to make it on time. So sometimes it's like, surprise, they're here.
Well, Bethany's told us Super Bowl's in Miami. So there you go. Just hop,
skip,
and jump.
Okay. Yeah. So it's definitely going to be in Walt Disney World. You'll definitely see them at the Magic Kingdom, and it will definitely be the day after. So, just get there early. The park is a huge party atmosphere, especially with the players of the teams that actually won. So, you know, they come out in full force usually to the Magic Kingdom for the parade. So, if you want to make sure you get a spot early. I would say it will only happen on Main Street, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm not sure if they start in Frontierland for those kind of parades. I know it will for sure be on Main Street USA though.
So. Well, too, it matters what team wins. Say like the Patriots win, like it'll be nuts because that's a big draw. If it's like the Saints, oh my gosh, it'll be crazy. Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. Watch your back. Just, New Orleans people know how to party. I heard that they drank every beer in the city of Atlanta during the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, apparently.
Place went dry.
Apparently it's a definitely crazy experience. I'll just say that. So I didn't go downtown. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, they're awesome. I love Saints fans and LSU fans. They're crazy. They're crazy in a good way, but they're crazy. So I can't wait to hear the national championship game. But like if like the 49ers or the Seahawks or somebody wins, like it won't be as, obviously because of geography, it won't be as crazy.
Correct.
I wouldn't think.
Exactly. Yes.
So anyway, we have a question here from Chip. Going in June for 10 days, got a 6'4 and 18-month-old, trying to decide if we should do a dessert party or after-hours event. Pam, what are your thoughts on that? The 18-month-old has me a little worried for either, kind of late at night.
So I would probably do the dessert party. I just think that that gives you sort of a place, especially if you do the one where you get to go to the Rose Garden either before or after. You get to have desserts, and everyone likes desserts, right?
Yes.
Even the little one. So you get to do that, and then you get to spend some time in the Rose Garden that's sort of corralled up. Well, they don't call it the Rose Garden anymore, but you know what I mean. It's a garden. It has some fencing. I love to watch the fireworks from there because you don't have to stake out your spot like 2 hours in advance. You get a pretty decent look, and it's possible to sort of corral the kids in that area too. So I think those are all pluses for the dessert party. The after hours parties are absolutely great, and I would recommend them to most folks. I just wonder like how everyone's going to hold up with the after hours stuff. You know, it can be a late, late night. So I'm leaning toward the dessert party.
And they just announced more villains parties are coming to the Magic Kingdom, correct, for 2020?
Yeah.
Yep. I thought I saw that somewhere. All right. Next question. I like this question because I have an opinion.
Of course.
Stephanie says, is it reasonable to watch Fantasmic the night before my first marathon? We booked the Fantasmic dinner package that day on Saturday. Okay. So here's what I'm going to say. Probably not a good idea, but I will tell you, I've now run 6 Walt Disney World marathons. And because of the people I tend to hang out with, I'm always supposed to be in bed by 7:30 or 8, and I'm always still sitting at the patio at Olivia's having a Mai Tai at 9:30 or 10. So it can be done, and it's fine because you're not going to sleep. The bottom line is, no matter what the perfect plan is, you don't sleep before your first, especially a marathon, the 26-mile race. Like, that's no joke. Like, you're not going to sleep at your first one. You're at Walt Disney World. You're going to worry about oversleeping. just get out of your head that you're going to get a good night's sleep the night before your race. Not happening. So I'd say go see Fantasmic. Why not? I mean, Pam, I mean, that's practical advice. I mean, I'd never sleep before the marathon anyway. You may as well go see Fantasmic. You'd just probably be sitting in your room just like looking at the ceiling like, what am I doing? Or your friends would be making you hang out all night talking. That's what happened.
I think it really depends on your style. Like, are you someone who needs like your 8 hours of sleep, or, you know, you can't function, or are you a little more loosey-goosey? You know, can you take some, you know, nights where you don't get quite as much sleep? But you're on vacation too. In addition to you're not going to give up your whole vacation for this. You want to do some of the fun stuff. So I say, go ahead.
More important than the sleep is to be off your feet. That is the ultimate thing I've learned, is that you don't want to be walking around. Now, you got to remember, Fantasmic has a lot of hidden steps. I'm not kidding. Like, just to go back to Fantasmic, to snake back to the theater. I bet you that's a quarter of a mile. And then you got to come out. That's another quarter of a mile. There's a half a mile and you're staying out, you know, so the sleep isn't the thing. It's the walking. You're sitting in the theater, which is nice, but it's not super comfortable because it's like a bench. I don't know. I would say still go, though, because have fun. You're right.
It isn't super comfortable. You're right. It's a metal bench.
Yeah, it is.
And when they start the wave, then it's just everybody's uncomfortable. Like, should I wave? Right. Should I not? You know.
It's awkward as heck.
It's totally awkward. Next question. I had a good one here. Where'd it go? Let's go. Maggie says, my sister-in-law, a Universal fan, in parentheses, says staying on Disney property is a bad value compared to Universal Studios. How can I explain to her that she is totally wrong? No, but I think both, because I've stayed at both now, and I know, hard to believe, but I love Cabana Bay. I think that's a sweet place. And I like the resorts over at Universal. They're neat. They're really cool. Like, there's a Polynesian, you know, equivalent. I like Sapphire Falls. It's got a nice vibe to it. So, Pam, I think if you're going to either, there's just a huge advantage to stay at that resort. It's got a lot of perks.
I totally agree. I mean, if you're going to Universal, I would spend at least a night at Universal. If you're going to be at Disney, I would spend time at a Disney resort. There's advantages to both. I don't know that the one is more advantageous as the other. She might be, sort of alluding to the fact that the Legacy Hotels, Hard Rock, Royal Pacific, and Portofino have unlimited express pass included with the stay there. That's actually not part of your ticket, media. It's part of, because you're staying there, if you have tickets into the park, you'll get to have what is basically unlimited fast passes to the rides of your choice. You don't have to schedule them, though. You can just show up and walk in that express line. So that is a huge benefit. They also, all the hotels though, have access to what their extra magic hour is. But there's still so many great benefits to stay at a Walt Disney World resort. I don't know, you know, why you wouldn't. You get to make your fast passes at 60 plus days in advance. You get a free magic band with your stay. You get extra magic hours. You get to make your dining reservations for your whole trip at 180 days in advance. So for me, the draw to stay on site at both is very, very strong. Plus, with both of them, they each have their own sort of dining plan too that you can utilize. So, I mean, both of them have really great reasons to stay on site. I don't think that one's better than the other. I just think they're a little different, but big pluses.
And I don't think it's a, I know this is going to sound weird, I don't think it's a bad value. There are some resorts at Universal, like Mike said, Cabana Bay, that I think are actually a really good value as far as money is concerned. I mean, if you're looking at saving money potentially, I mean, Universal has some great resorts on their property that are really inexpensive. I mean, you look at the Endless Summer resorts and, you know, those are fantastically priced. So, as far as value is concerned, I think Universal is actually a relatively decent value. And they do offer a lot of unique, like Pam was saying, a lot of unique things. So I disagree with the bad value term. And I know that that's not what you want to hear, because you want us to convince about staying at Disney. And there are certainly good things about staying at Disney as well, like Pam discussed. But bad value is not one of the reasons, in my opinion. So.
Good calls. All right. George Reeves has a question here. He says he got a 10-day park hopper for marathon weekend, and he's thinking about annual passes. Is it worth it if I only go two times a year And what does the difference look like on an average upgrade to an annual pass? So basically the way that works is you can upgrade it while you're there. You get the value of what you paid for the 10-day hopper. I think he said he has a 10-day hopper. Yep. Towards the annual pass. Now you got to do the math. You got to go on the annual pass website, see what the current price is, because there's different tiers. You can get the one with the water parks, you can get the one without the water parks, and so forth. And you just pay the difference. Now, is it worth it? Is a huge, it's a loaded question, because you are going to probably, you're going to get some dining and merchandise discounts throughout the stay, which is nice, both trips. That's a perk. You're also probably, not all the time, but you probably can walk into an annual pass resort discount at some point on your second trip if you're looking for that. Now, if you stay deluxe and you hit on a discount for an annual pass, that can be a big savings because of how expensive the rooms are. But if you're staying at typically like an All-Star or a Pop Century, you may only get 5 or 10% off. Then it doesn't accrue the value as quickly as far as the upgrade. It really does. This is the ultimate case if you got to do the math and think about how many days you're going to be in the parks, what kind of resort you're going to stay in, and also your dining. If you're going to do a lot of table service dining at places that offer annual pass discounts, because some do, some don't. Some do at lunch, some don't at dinner. It just depends. But, I mean, it can totally be worth it. I mean, because if you're thinking about it, you've already paid a chunk. If you're ever going to get an annual pass and you have the 10-day hopper and you're thinking about it, it's not as painful to do the upgrade. I mean, you're probably talking in the ballpark of like $600. That's still a lot of money, though. But I mean, it's a lot easier than paying the $1,200 or so, the $1,100, I think it is. I think I paid $1,100 for my renewal. Whew. Crazy. It was just under $1,100. I remember the other day because I renewed my annual pass. Nuts. So yeah, I just got to kind of crunch the math. All right, next question here is, it's from, where'd it go? Oh, it's from Donald. He says, what should we do for a special day for a 9-year-old's birthday at Disney World at the end of January? And this is from Mackenzie. So I guess Mackenzie's the 9-year-old. End of January for a nine. You know what?
If she's the one I was going to say, because okay, go ahead.
If she likes basketball NBA experience. No, because seriously, she might like that. She might like that. You know what? Because we saw that thing on the Christmas special and Mallory was all about it. I'm like,
really?
You don't even play basketball. You're a cheerleader. And she's like, I want to shoot the basketballs because they did like the slingshot thing.
The slingshot.
Like
the, that's the only thing that seems exciting about
she's
that.
She's all about it. I'm like, Ricky said it's not fun.
I'm just kidding. Did you really say that to
I think
her?
I did. I think I did. I tried to crush her dreams. Because I didn't want
no,
to pay
no, no, no.
Money.
You're trying to make me crush her dreams.
That's exactly
that's
it. Yes,
what
yes.
It is. Yeah.
I think that's
yeah.
what I said. No, maybe the characters in Flight Balloon, if she likes that, that'd be like a special thing. You might not do any other trip. Disney Springs, maybe. I wouldn't do it because I'm scared of the thing, the cords coming loose and you end up in like Ocala or something.
Man, crazy.
Or Great Britain, okay. If depending on how the wind goes. I don't know. What would you got say, it. Ricky? You got something?
Well, I had something and then I realized that they said January because the perfect thing I thought of was the Mermaid School, which I thought would be so much fun for a 9-year-old. But unfortunately, it's not taking place during the winter this year, so that one's out. But if you're going in the summer and you're looking for a really cool thing ever for a 9-year-old, that's going to do it. I thought about maybe The Void. Yes. They have different experiences there. There's Star Wars, there's Wreck-It Ralph, Avengers 1 isn't at Walt Disney World, that's at Disneyland. But, you know, you do have those options. I think that those would be a lot of fun. So maybe that.
I agree. 9-year-old would be perfect for The Void, I think.
Since you can't do Mermaid School, which I thought would have been perfect. I'm sorry.
I want to do Mermaid School.
Dude, I would totally do Mermaid
School. With
my face
mask on that I do with my daughter.
I would totally do. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. So I'm actually going to meet Jodie Benson. I'm so excited. I'm actually going to meet her and I'm totally going to cry. So that's going to be awesome. Thanks to Give Kids the World, who's doing a fantastic event with Jodie Benson. It's February 8th. No tickets are sold out for like meeting her, which is what I got. But if you want to go actually see her talk, tickets are probably still available. So you can go to Give Kids the World and find out more. But I'm going to meet Jodie Benson and I'm sorry.
But I'm so glad you clarified that by you're going to Give Kids the World to meet her, because for a second it was kind of scary. I thought maybe you were taking her hostage.
It was frightening, right?
Can I go to her house?
Again,
yeah,
Jodie, no. Blink three times if you need me to come be a part of your world and save you.
I'm going to Give Kids the World. So if you're looking for a really cool thing to do, it is a Sunday, so that's good news. Although I'm still going to have to take off work because, I can't get there back home by Monday. But still, I'm going to go meet Jodie Benson and I'm so excited. Tears will actually, I will be a blubbering freaking mess, but it's okay.
Great. Okay. Make sure you Instagram that.
Oh, it'll be Instagrammed, I'm sure. Okay, yes. All right. My brother's coming with me. He will definitely make sure that there's footage of something.
Perfect. All right, Renee's got a question. This one's going to be for Pam. They're going in February during the Arts Festival. I love Festival of the Arts. I'm so glad I get to go for Princess now. Yeah. I got that for my birthday. I'm more excited for this Festival of the Arts, I think, than the Princess Half Marathon. But I mean, they're both fun, but I just love being out there. What can we look forward to seeing or doing? And what are your favorite things to see or do? So, Pam, what would you offer somebody for Festival of the Arts first time?
Well, so first of all, you know there's food booths, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, that's it. That's you it. Know, you right? Good looking I mean, food, yes.
I mean, I know it's called Festival, you know, the Festival of the Arts, but it's more like Festival of the Arts and food.
Yes.
Like, they should do that, right? They really should.
Well, the food is works of art.
They are. And I will say that the food at those food booths are some of my favorite.
Yep.
They just really are. They really take some extra time to make them look spectacular. So make sure you check those out. The other thing, though, that you need to check out is they have throughout the parks these little, you can put yourself in a famous work of art and have your picture taken. Remember to buy your memory maker before you leave. That's always our top recommended add-on. But you can go ahead and be part of, you know, a famous art piece of art. And I think that they add some new ones every year, but they have some traditional standard ones that they have too. And you'll just sort of go into that backdrop and they'll take your picture there. It's kind of a really cool souvenir. They also have great merchandise during Festival of the Arts and lots of really cool things to do. Like, they usually have a little area you can paint a square that becomes part of a larger mural that they put somewhere. They have some cool things. In the Odyssey this year, they won't probably have as much of the little festival center because they have that really cool new thing there that sort of describes the future of Epcot and puts it all in this really cool show. But there's lots of cool things to do for Festival of the Art, and the weather is usually really awesome. So that's one of my favorite times to go.
God, I hope they have that same dessert they had last year. It was like a little white kind of cake thing over at Sunshine Seasons. It had like all different colors of paint on it. Oh, I had like three of those last year. They were so good.
Fat kid.
I know. Well, I run a lot, so that's why.
Well, there you go.
I run to eat and eat to run. All right, last question. Eric's got a simple one. What is Mermaid School? So fill us in. I mean, you probably don't want to see Mike Rahlman doing Mermaid School, but somebody else might want to do it.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to see Mike Rahlman doing Mermaid School. So Mermaid School happens at a select Walt Disney World Resort hotels. And I'm trying to get the actual definition of it. And of course, I can't find
it. Isn't it Art of Animation? I want to say in the big
It is an Art of Animation. Yeah, hold on. Pam, do you know? I know I have the list of the resorts, but
I don't know off the top of my head.
I do have those because I just wrote about them. And
hang on, I'll give you a chance to find them because I'm going to tell a story that I did today in my real job, which Pam will appreciate.
It.
I had to research which of the Walt Disney World resorts have tennis courts.
Oh,
Should we play Family Feud?
The legacy ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. There's like over 10.
I know.
I think because I was thinking the Contemporary was the only ones I could think of at first. Then I did the research. There's a lot of them.
Animal Kingdom has one.
Yeah, really?
Yes. Out by Kidani. Yep.
Interesting.
Out by the pool. Yep. There's
I know.
The Boardwalk Villas. Old Key West.
Really?
Yeah, they're all over the place. There's like 10 of them. Huh. We should do like America
Says.
So many
people are playing tennis, right?
You never see them being
No,
here.
Exactly.
One of my guests is playing back off.
One of our guests, apparently, is going to use one. I'm glad they're still there for them. But yeah. I think in all the times I've been, I've really seen people using them maybe once or twice.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple too.
That's weird.
But that's cool.
Great if that's what you're into.
Yeah,
I just,
totally.
That's not what I'm into.
All right, I stalled for you there, Ricky.
I didn't realize that there were that many. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, there's over 10. Yeah.
That's the weird part is like, I didn't realize there were that many resorts that had, because they're kind of hidden.
It's mostly the DVC resorts, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. DVC would make sense. Yeah. Okay, so I found out where they are. So Mermaid School takes place at Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach, and Disney's Yacht and Beach Clubs. And what it is basically it allows guests to become part of Ariel's world. Ages 4 and older, it's an hour-long class. You get fitted with a swimmable tail, and you get led through activities to teach you how to swim in the pool like a mermaid. So classes are, at least at the point of this writing, $50 a person. Not sure if it's gone up since then. And reservations can be made online or by calling 407-WWPLAY. So
I should have totally got you this for the Christmas show last week.
Okay. And
we should have combined this with you meeting Jodie Benson. You could have done Mermaid School, met Jodie Benson, and see Elton.
Jodie Benson, yes. Oh my God.
Exactly. Pay for her.
I would have died.
Do you think she has to pay $50? We'll put up the $50 if you can get with her.
If somebody can arrange this for it to happen, I would donate a lot of money to Give Kids the World. I think that Stephen, if you're listening, we can make this happen.
Totally.
Anyway, it's not taking place, though, from January 5th through February 29th. So those are the dates that Mermaid School is going to be unavailable. So
no mermaids.
Yeah, no Mermaid School for you. So.
That's awesome.
I can't do Mermaid School. It's not going to be around. We need to get Jodie Benson back in town for this.
That'd be the ultimate thing. Can you imagine if you walked out there and she was, like, sitting in the water?
I would die. I would die. Like, I remember as a kid, because we had a pool, and I remember swimming in the pool, pretending I was a mermaid with my mermaid. Like, I didn't have fins. I just, you know, kept my legs together and swished them around like a mermaid would. Like, the people that see me. But yeah, I would totally die if that happened. Like, that would be my ultimate dream.
That would be cool. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Send those questions, as crazy as they are, to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. 2020 is going to be awesome. We're off to a great start. Okay. Send those in, and we're going to answer those again for you next Wednesday. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home for great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app, and it's going to work great on all your new Apple devices that you got over the holidays. Ricky, what are we reading about this week on Theme Park News, Disney Edition?
If you are a fan of M&M's, I got some news for you.
Yes!
M&M's Orlando is coming to Disney Springs.
I'm behind that, yes.
It's going to be a new state-of-the-art store that will be an experiential-type store, and it is expected to open in 2020, and it's going to have, so I guess they had an experiential-type store in, like, one of the malls in Orlando, so that one's going to be closing, so it's going to just move over to the store, but you're going to get to do, like, immersive experiences and all kinds of stuff like that, so it's going to be located on the west side near the NBA experience.
Where is it going to be?
West Side?
God
knows they're going to try to do as much as they can to get people over to the NBA experience. Please visit us here.
We'll give you M&Ms. We have candy.
We'll give you M&Ms if you go into the NBA experience.
which M&M's your favorite? I'm green. I like the green guy.
All right.
I like green too. Oh, actually, I don't like M&Ms at all unless there's a peanut in them. I think the chocolate in an M&M is horrendous.
Oh, really? All right.
But look at you. You're from Pennsylvania, you chocolate snob.
Hershey. Yeah.
I am actually a fan of the peanut butter one. And they actually have one that's kind of new. It is the toffee nut one. It is so freaking good. It's like English toffee. Oh, my gosh. It's to die for. So, yeah. Get that.
So there you go. Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Get your candy fix. Find out what's coming into Disney Springs next, because there's a lot happening. So grab it today over at virtualmickey.com. Please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And you get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. And it really does help support the show. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestPod and @BeOurGuestMike. We'll be lighting that up here next week for Marathon Weekend. Lots of live videos, posts from the races, from the parks, from the resorts, all the good stuff. And of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here, and we'll be back again on Friday talking about all the stuff we lost in 2019. And there's a lot of it. We're going to talk about whether it was good or bad, or who cares. So it's going to be a fun show. Before Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a Happy New Year. Welcome to 2020.
Happy New Year!
And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.